Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The words for our consideration today are the words of the epistle reading, the reading from the letters, and this is from Paul's letter to the Romans, beginning in chapter 5 with the first verse, and I would invite you to rise for the reading of the sermon text today. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. We ask that you would set us apart from this world for yourself, and that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us today through these words to increase our faith, that we might trust in you in all things, and know that if you loved us so much that you gave your only Son, that you truly love us and will always be with us and protect us and guide us to the heavenly places. Set us apart by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed, have you ever given up on someone? Time and time again, you've asked them to do something, and time and again, they failed. My parents used to ask me to walk the dog and to take out the garbage, to mow the lawn. That's all I had to do. And yet, they had to ask me over and over again. I failed because of my immaturity and my disobedience to them, but they were trying to help me to mature and to learn to obey, so they kept at it. They would first ask politely, and then they would demand, and if I still failed, they would ground me to help me get my priorities straightened out. When I was a boy, these were pretty serious punishments, but they could have done far worse to me. And the worst that they could have done would have been to give up on me. Our parents certainly could have given up on all of us for our disobedience and our failures, and that would have been a tragedy. Some do that nowadays, you know, they just kick their children right out of the house. Nothing could be worse for children who need constant attention and nurturing so that they might mature and become responsible adults. Nothing could damage them more than for their parents to give up on them. Thank goodness that God does not give up on us. Even though he had every reason to quit, he did not stop, and he will never give up on us. Now, God had every reason to quit. He had created mankind to be very good, it says in the book of Genesis, and mankind turned away from him into disobedience and sin by doing the one thing in all creation that he had forbid them to do. God had every reason to give up on Adam and Eve. He could have forsaken them right from that moment. He had every right to do that, but he didn't. We were sinful. We were sinful too from the very moment that we began our lives. Sinful from the moment of conception, it says in the Psalms. God had every reason to quit right then and there. And it only gets worse. In our weakness, even we Christians sin much daily for the rest of our earthly lives. As young children, we disobeyed parents and we lied and we stole. And as teenagers, we continued in these sins and we began to add new ones. Laziness and contrariness. We began to develop a taste for greed and lust and pride. And as adults, not much has changed. We're just better at camouflaging. We're worse than ever. Our tongues are now capable of tearing down another person's life with vicious gossip and slander. Our hearts are capable of passing by those who are truly in need. And worse yet, we thumb our noses at God sometimes when we know what his word says, but we don't want to listen, or when we skip the word and sacraments, and when we stop caring for those whom God has given us responsibility over, like our spouses and our family, our congregation. He has every reason to quit. Because we repeatedly show him by our thoughts and words and deeds that we have an ungodly bad attitude. It says in the scripture, God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Every one of them has turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. Now, my main purpose here as your pastor is not to nag about sin, though. We know our sins if we're even halfway honest with ourselves. We know our sins if we hear our consciences still. My purpose here is not to tell you that he doesn't give up on us. He didn't falter. He did not stop once with second thoughts about how he could save us. Paul tells us in our text, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." In this season of Lent, our focus is on Christ's trip to that awful cross to pay for our sins. God was focused on saving us through Jesus. Thank goodness he did not stop. God did more than look down from heaven upon the children of men. Jesus himself tells us, "No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Jesus is true God and true man. And he came down from heaven not to destroy us, not to condemn us for our sins, but to save us from our sins. And when he came down, he did not stop. He did not let anything get in the way of his plan to save us. Now, to stop, that was what the devil surely wanted. He wanted Jesus to just give up on us. Misery loves company, and the devil would surely like to have us with him in that eternal punishment that he knows he's destined for. But Jesus did not stop. When Peter came to Jesus and pleaded that he not die, that he not go to Jerusalem, Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples, and he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Jesus did not stop. Just before his arrest, Jesus took Peter and James and John with him to the garden, and it says he went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed it that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Jesus understood better than anyone that he would soon suffer all the wrath of God, not just the crucifixion, but the condemnation for our sins. His Father surely wanted to find another way, but there was no other way, or the Lord would have done that. God's plan of salvation called for a perfect substitute for us imperfect, sinful people. And that's what Jesus was there to do, and he did not quit. He did not stop. He continued to the cross, and he died there for us with all our sins, all our imperfections laid on his shoulders. And by his stripes we were healed. Now when God looks at us, he sees Christ in our place, just as he saw us when he crucified his Son. He looked at us with love. But the story of the cross doesn't end there. It continues today in our lives. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God will never give up on us. We are at peace with him. By that gift of faith that he himself has given to us, we hold on to Christ now for dear life. By that gift of the word, we hear the Spirit pour out God's heart of love toward us. Let us repent of our wrongdoing right now. Let us turn our attention to living God-pleasing lives of service while we're here. How can we do otherwise in the face of such overwhelming love and sacrifice? God has forgiven us. God does forgive you. You are forgiven. Go out today from this house and share your hope with the world. And when troubles enter your life, don't give up. He didn't give up on you. Instead, look to Jesus where he may be found in word and sacraments. Look to him for your strength and perseverance in time of trouble. And remember, he does not give up on us. He had every reason to quit, but he didn't stop. And he will never give up on us because he loves us. He loves us enough to send his Son to be the sacrifice for our sins. That's why we come here, to hear those words again and again, so that our faith might be strengthened in them and that we would know in our hearts that we have a place in heaven above because of Jesus, because our Lord loves us and did not give up on us. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.